Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a new season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell's with the Jets. Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed is where I'm putting my money down on all the games. My bookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. My bookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you gotta do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week and climb the leaderboard and score the huge prize cash pool. I recommend it. This service has been good to me. Heck, I made money to pay for my kids' school supplies. So, not a lot, but hey, it's my end and half. They have live in-game betting. You can bet on fantasy points. So join now. You get up to $200 in free bets. Use promo code PANTHER25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code PANTHER25. Bet, win, get paid. Hey guys, welcome in. It's Vlad Harris here with the Panther Rants podcast. It's hump day. We're in August now. Summer's winding down and school's back up, which is funny because a lot of stuff with school districts is changing on certain ones. For some school districts, it used to be you started around Labor Day and you got out later. Now they're starting before Labor Day, and I think they're getting out a little earlier, and of course they're adding like a few minutes to the school day. And I guess some people are mad about this. On top of that, you get some kids are getting a week off for Thanksgiving, some, or 2 weeks for Christmas or both. I mean, last year my kids got a week off for Thanksgiving because, the board voted on it. And, 2 weeks off for Christmas. And on top of that, the school day started earlier. And I guess they increased the day itself by 15 minutes a day. So they got out earlier. They experimented with this last, when Harvey hit, they did this. They experimented with extending the school day by like 10, 15 minutes. So they would have to make up 2 weeks of school. And it worked out because, the kids didn't go back till September 11th. And it's funny because my oldest child is hoping for a big rainstorm again so he can miss a whole bunch of school again. Obviously, he's young, and I'm like, no, people lost their homes. Some people lost their lives. Not a good idea. Anyways, been back in Houston for over a week. Well, it's been a week now. Was in Pittsburgh last week. And, had a great time. I spent a lot of time going down memory lane. Got to see all the places I play Little League at, or at least play pickup baseball at, and the fields are all grown in, especially in the infield. I mean, it's mainly because the city doesn't have the budget to keep up with the parks. And the place I play hockey, I mean, at least they left me a net, but the other net was like in pieces. I mean, I won the rollerblade on that court. I forgot my blades. I'm glad I did because the court's all torn up for the most part. It's not really a place I'd rollerblade on, let alone play roller hockey. There's just, there's some cracks and, yeah. And, of course, the basketball court that used to be packed every summer is now a gravel lot because they're supposed to take the deck hockey court from Second Avenue up to there, and it's never happened because the city just doesn't have money for it. I don't know. And what's really crazy about a lot of my neighborhood is people are asking, what do the kids do? And all the times I drove around the neighborhood and stuff, there was nobody outside. Hardly anybody outside. You'll see like occasional people going for their walks, but you know, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, we were always out playing, and maybe, I mean, just things have just changed so much. You know, it just, you know, my mom used to always say, like, it was, you know, how, you know, I would leave in the morning, take my bike or whatever, or my hockey equipment. And, you know, maybe sometimes I'd come in for lunch, sometimes I wouldn't. I'd go to the store, get a big carton of tea and some snacks. And I would just come in for dinner usually. And then I would leave and come back when it got dark. And it's like, you know, growing up, that's, you know, we knew where to go and we knew where to avoid. And it's just, I mean, things are just obviously different now. I don't know. Maybe it's hard to say. Obviously, we got, as we've seen, you know, with the stuff on the news, we get a lot more crazy stuff, a lot more crazy people. But Saturday, we had a little fundraiser at Mulligan's for my friend who, he's battling cancer at stage 4. It's gone to his brain, and of course, when I went to go see him, I saw him for maybe about 10 minutes, and really, he was coherent. It's just, he's just so strung out on all that medication treatment that he really couldn't do much of anything else. I mean, he doesn't have much motor skills, but, you know, he's still fighting. I mean, he sent me a text the other day, checking on me this after the El Paso shooting. I mean, granted, I live in Houston, which is way across the state, but all he knows is I'm in Texas. So for him to send that, you know, that out was pretty cool. I mean, we chatted for a lot more after that, and it seems like he's getting better. And he's just, he's hoping, you know, he can recover. That's all that's really all I can do at this point. But, you know, we raise money. Of course, I got my Uncle Sam's fix, and I went to a hipster coffee shop, and I went to Altered Ice and checked Altered Ice out, and that area is tore up because they're doing something with it. But other than that, it was a good trip. I mean, had great weather. I mean, one thing I can say about Pittsburgh is the roads have gotten a little better. Of course, if you drive around Century 3 Mall, it's a dump. I mean, I'm amazed, like, Johnny Eagle and Kohl's and all that's still there in that Century Square area. I mean, it's amazing. A lot of those areas, those places are still doing good. I mean, if there's ever, like, a atomic bomb that hits us, the Olive Garden and Red Lobster in West Mifflin will be the only two structures still standing and still serving food. I mean, Red Lobster's been there. Actually, Olive Garden, they've all been there. Both been there since I was probably in grade school. Red Lobster was a big deal, I remember. But I noticed there's speedways, and everywhere there's a speedways, there's a Sheetz. And I guess you guys got like some competition there between. You know, I walked into a speedway; it didn't look bad. I went to the Sheetz I used to always go to. It's changed. I mean, they gutted it a little bit and added a dining area where you can sit down and eat your food. But I went in on a Sunday night. It was packed. People were just getting food. I'm like, what's going on here? Is there, like, nothing to do on a Sunday night? Well, of course, I was there as well. I mean, what excuse did I have? But everybody was there. Then I drove around, and, you know, I drove down 51, and that little interchange that between 51 and 88, I guess they finally fixed that. And man, they did a great job with that, because when I used to live in Brookline, I would leave West Mifflinland, you know, where I worked, to drive down back to Brookline. I would go 50. You had two options. You can go 51, and of course that interchange of 88 was always a cluster mess, let's just say. Or I could go the back road. I could go down all the way down Lemon Church Road, go around Curry Hollow, you know, down through Casty Village and get on 88. It's a little more scenic, but you know, either one. I mean, it's, yeah. But yeah, the roads have gone better. I mean, how they've redone them. I'm sure the bike lanes annoy the hell out of you guys, but I can totally understand that. I mean, but other than that, I mean, I will say things are prospering in Pittsburgh. And of course, I was at the waterfront, I believe it was Friday night, and it was packed. I mean, rock bottom was booming. I mean, it's amazing. I started going to the waterfront maybe like 99, maybe 2000. 2000 is when like Lowe's Cinema was built, I remember. And we had you had a bar, stadium like seating, first class seating, because you had the leather seats, and you could take beer in if you sat in first class. And of course, you can bring in chicken tenders and what else not. And I was like, wow, you know, we go from like freaking Southland 9 or whatever freaking other those type of franchises were to this. I mean, this is like the Rolls Royce. You know, obviously that's still the big thing. I mean, there's the Distinta as well. You had that. I don't even know the Distinta's still around though. But I mean, I noticed like a lot of the original, some of the original places are still doing good. I mean, Bravo came in. That's been doing. That's still there. Mitchell's Fish Market, Rock Bottom, Dave and Buster's. I mean, they're all still doing really good. It's amazing how that area is just, you know, last time I was, what was our last year there? It was a ghost town. And, you know, this time around, it's, I guess I must have hit it at a bad time. And of course, you know, Rose Picklesburg as well. But anyways, I'm going to talk about the Pitt football season and the ACC in general. Obviously, Pitt for 2019, they come in. Last year, if they finished 7-7 overall, they won the ACC Coastal Division. And they're looking to defend their title. There's a lot of hype this year with UVA, and I just don't get it. And same thing with Virginia Tech. I don't understand it. The way I look at the ACC is, yeah, UV is in it. I think it's a three-way race between Miami, Pitt, and Virginia. Virginia Tech is going to be in the middle, and your bottom half is going to be North Carolina, Duke, and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is going to be dead last for a lot of reasons. Atlantic, it's going to be Clemson, obviously. But you know, a lot of people are picking Syracuse, you know, to challenge them. But NC State could give them a challenge as well. Florida State should just hope they can win 7 or 8 games. Boston College is going to be your standard 7-win team. Wake is going to be a bold team, and Louisville is just they're shitty. But looking at Pitt this year, obvious concerns are your passing game because of what happened last year. It was inconsistent, and it was a lot of times really bad. A lot of times they couldn't throw the ball at all. So out Sean Watson goes. But as I was doing my research, pretty glaring statistic. Pitt was 5-2 when they were throwing the ball for over 150 yards. So they were, you know, so 5 of those 7 wins, they want them thrown over 150 yards. So it's quite obvious. If you have some, I think it's pretty, you know, obvious that if you throw for over 150 yards a game, you have a really good chance of winning it. Of course, you mix in the running game as well. There you go. So, you know, obvious concerns the passing game right now, because you got Kenny Pickett, who we hope big things last year, was for the most part disappointing. Part of that's on Sean Watson. There are parts on Pickett as well, because Sean Watson can't make those throws for him. There were throws that he needed to make. He didn't do it. And on top of that, he was underthrowing his receivers as well. And I mean, Penn State in particular, he tried to go for the jugular, you know, once or twice, and he got picked off. So the man has plenty of work to do. And of course, if not, there's a competition going on for the backup spot, which Jim Hammond wrote about this, you know, or at least tweeted this morning. Basically, Nick Patty and Jeff George Jr. are battling for the backup spot. I mean, and that's a key battle, because here's the thing. If Kenny doesn't really show anything in camp, let alone this season, he starts struggling again, one of those two guys is going to be called in to get their chance to show what they can do. So that's why this is such a big spot for them. I mean, because if they get the backup, there's a good chance that they could be a starter. And plus, knowing that, what if Pickett gets hurt? So either way, they're either a bad performance or an injury away from getting their shot. Offensive line obviously is another concern, because, well, they lost most of their players. And on top of that, we have a new guy. You know, Dave Borbély is in his second year. So we don't know how these guys have developed under him in these last 2 years. One thing is particular, though. Obviously, Mark Whipple has been doing wonders with the offense. They want to throw the ball more. He's put a lot more emphasis on that. If we don't have a good offensive line, we're not going to be able to do anything. On top of that, we're replacing 2 1,000-yard rushers. On top of that, so replacing a line, replacing running backs. On top of that, we got new tight ends, obviously an issue as well, because you know we lost one player from last year, had one player decommit because of the direction of the offense. So, I mean, we have Will Gregg and Akeem Griffin-Stewart. We have those two guys. So I'm not sure what we can do with the tight end. But we got to get something out of the tight end this year, because, well, we didn't get much last year. And then that's because of, you know, mainly because it was designed, who knows. But Whipple is only going to be able to fix so much. A lot's on the rest of these guys. And, of course, the other position coaches, it's on them as well. So, if anything, we hope these guys are all working together and then getting better every day, coaching better every day. So, like I said, with the offense, there's a lot of moving pieces that really got to work together, and you hope that all that gets worked out. I'm sure they want to throw the ball more, but and there's talented receivers to do that with. I mean, you got, you know, Taysier Mack, who's, you know, really quick, deep threat. You got Maurice French. And you got experienced guys. You got Trey Tipton and Aaron Matthews, both really, you know, experienced guys. And they're looking to break out. Now, the other side of the coin, we got the defense. And the issue there is, well, we lost pretty much, you know, the linebacking core is going to be an issue. But secondary and you know, the front line, we should be fine. Last year, we had some issues with the, you know, stopping the run. That's one of the Achilles heel, but I think secondary will be good. If we can figure out the running, you know, running game, stopping the run, of course. Those teams, those annoying spread offenses always get us as well. But let's take a look at the rest of the, let's take a look at the schedule. UVA, they open with. Now, UVA, I did some work, you know, looked at all these opponents. They're thin at the offensive line and defensive line. Their two top playmakers that were running back and receiver are gone. But they're loaded at linebacker and secondary. I have Pitt winning this game. Obviously, people are going to pick UVA because they bring back their quarterback. But if Pitt can keep him contained like they did last year and neutralize him, they'll win. The key here is getting the running game going and getting the passing game going. But I like Pitt at home in this one. So I think that's where they get their first W. Ohio, they had an explosive offense last year, but they're thin on all those guys are gone pretty much. So I got Pitt winning this one. At Penn State, you know, Penn State lost a good bit of their offense, but they have a tough passing defense. I got them losing this one to Penn State. Pitt hasn't won against Penn State since the Reagan administration, and I don't really see it happening again. It would suck to go 1-3 against these guys in this 4-game series, but that's just the reality of it. And who knows, Zach? They could by week 3, who knows? Maybe we're a lot better than we were week 1. So, but I still have them losing this one. Central Florida, despite their loss as a quarterback, supposedly they lost the starter and the backup. But regardless, they're loaded and fast. And one thing, if Pitt really wants to win this game, they're going to have to find someone to get to the quarterback and neutralize that passing game. Because that's pretty much what happened. They had their way with us, and maybe this crappy turf at Heinz. By week 4, you know, you got the Steelers playing, maybe, you know, it'll help. But I have them losing this one. Delaware, I got them winning that one, obviously. It's Delaware. They're playing at Duke after that. Duke, obviously, they lost their starting quarterback and their defense isn't good. I think it'll be another high scoring game, which Pitt wins. Then they're at Syracuse. So if we look at the first part of the schedule, they're at home against UVA, home against Ohio, at Penn State, home against UCF and Delaware. So, you know, they get 4 of the 5 games, you know, at home. So that's a key part. But now they have an open date on October 12th, October 18th to go to Syracuse. And that's a key because, you know, it gives them some time to prepare for Syracuse. And Syracuse is getting a boatload of hype coming this season as well. They're replacing their quarterback, but they still got a loaded offense. Defense, though, is still going to be an issue for them. I think it's going to be whatever happened last year, you know, obviously Pitt it was a high-scoring game in Hines. I think it's going to be another high-scoring game as well. I got Pitt winning this one. Miami, they're always going to be loaded. Defense, they're obviously going to be ferocious. Tate Martell from Ohio State is immediately ineligible if he transfers from Ohio State. That may be their answer at quarterback, and if it is, I got Pitt losing this game. This is the only ACC loss I have projected at Pitt, and that's a home game, which sucks as well. Then they go at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is going through a transformation where they have to pretty much replace everything on offense. They're gutting that option stuff and they have to get all new O-linemen, a quarterback who can actually throw the football. So Pitt's obviously going to win this one. I mean, this is going to be a really bad season for Georgia Tech. UNC, Mack Brown's going with an air raid, but I think Pitt catches them off guard this time around. They get the monkey off their back. Fedora had some sort of, you know, hex over us. I think Pitt this time breaks it. Then we're at Blacksburg against Virginia Tech. Unless Bud Foster can correct that defense, which was dismal last year. Pitt wins again. Bud obviously is retiring after this year, so I really don't see him. By this time, I see Pitt taking it. And then the last game of the season, they got BC. I got them winning that one. So overall, I got Pitt 9-3 overall. And, of course, 7. I believe it's 6-1. Or is it, you know, 7-1 in the ACC conference. So that's my 9-3, 7-1. Now, that's my best case scenario. Worst case, you're looking at probably 7-5, 8-4. And with two more ACC losses, they could lose the Virginia game. They could lose the Virginia game and go 8-4. That's a good possibility. And they could also lose the Syracuse game as well, because we all know how Pitt is after bye weeks. For some reason, they have an issue with bye weeks where they just come out flat. So, you know, your best case 9-3, 7-1. Worst case, 8-4, 6-2, or 7-5, 5-3. But I really don't think Pitt is striving for 7-5 or 8-4. I think the coaches, the players, are striving for a lot more than that. But overall, on the coastal, I got Miami taking it. I think Miami's going to run the table. Pitt's going to finish second. UVA third. Virginia Tech fourth. UNC fifth. Duke 6th, Georgia Tech 7th. In the Atlantic, I got Clemson winning that. NC State's, I have them shockingly going in the number 2 spot over Syracuse. Dave Doran's done a hell of a job with that team, that offense, and he has a really good defense, better defense than Syracuse. That's why I have them going over Syracuse. I have Syracuse at 3. I have Florida State at 4 and BC at 5, but you could probably swap these because Florida State's talent level has been dropping and they're just not going to be the Florida State that we saw under Jimbo Fisher anymore. I think you're going to see the Florida State that was under Bobby Bowden before his retirement when they really, really sunk. So, but I have Florida State going fourth, BC fifth, Wake Forest sixth, and Louisville seventh. Wake could surprise some teams. I mean, Florida State, Boston College, and you can flip-flop those any way you want. But, yeah, I have Miami and Clemson in the title game. Obviously, Clemson wins that one. But, you know, that's what I think. The Coastal is going to be a three-horse race between Miami, Pitt, and Virginia. I still like Pitt's chances, and Pitt could win the Coastal still. They won. I mean, we counted them out last year, and they won it last year without a passing game. They could do it again. You know, my pick for Miami running the table, it's only if they have some sort of issue, you know, answer with the quarterback. They have really good players. It's just for some reason they can't find a guy that can play the quarterback position good. So that is my Pitt and ACC preview. So next podcast, I'll do the rest of the college football geography in general. I'll do every conference. And what's weird is all the previews I read at the airport, it's just they break down the top 25. They just give these bullshit little tidbits of all the other teams and conferences. I mean, it's not really, some of these are just not in depth as they used to be. But, you know, moving along, we also have the NFL season starting as well. And Hard Knocks started last night, so everybody's watching, at least locally, to see what Antonio Brown's doing. The guy's obviously going to get his stats. He's a hell of a player. But, you know, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, people are still going to jump on this guy. And I really don't know what, you know, why people are, I don't know, still worried about him. He's with the Raiders now. Obviously, he brings attention. Of course, you got Le'Veon Bell. So, I mean, of course, you know, we're curious how these guys do. I mean, I think Antonio Brown, regardless, is going to have a good season no matter what. Le'Veon Bell, that's the biggest mystery. And now with Ezekiel Elliott holding out, well, a lot more fuel is added to the fire. But anyways, guys, I'm hitting on 30 minutes. And I've don't got much else to talk about, really. I mean, we can talk about the Pirates if you want. I mean, that's oof. I mean, they played out of minds before the All-Star break, but afterwards, it just went downhill. Oh, well, guys, hell to pit. I'll talk to you later.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.